Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Today's guest on the USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast is Grant Caserta. Caserta is the defensive coordinator and secondary coach at Husson University in Maine. He was a finalist for Football Scoop's Division III Coordinator of the Year following a 2016 season in which his defense held opponents to under 200 yards per game. He dives into his defense, his philosophy of bringing pressure, and the value of players with defensive instinct.
Coach Caserta, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Coach, let's get back to the beginning for you. And for you, we don't have to go that far back. So what made you want to be a football coach?
Well, my dad is a high school football coach. He's been in it 30 plus years, and I grew up around it. So I can remember when I was a little kid, probably 5 years old, watching the VHS tapes with my dad trying to pick out the opponent's numbers and everything for the scouting report with him, and just being the water boy on the sidelines and all that. So I grew up around it. And it's kind of in the blood. And as I was going through my college years, I kind of thought, this is what I want to keep doing. I want to be in the game of football. And I thought that I would be good at it. And I love the game. And my dad's kind of like my role model. So I wanted to be like him. So he was the main reason why I got into it, just because I grew up with it. And that was kind of how I built my love for it.
So where'd you get your start coaching?
I started at Saginaw Valley State, which is my alma mater. I had finished playing in 2012, and they let me come on as the assistant defensive backs coach the next year as I finished up my graduate degree, and kind of got to get thrown in the fire, do a lot of different things as a GA type position, and I was getting to do a lot of different behind the scenes things that I had no idea even existed until I got to actually do it. So that was kind of how I started.
So you must be a quick learner, because you really have an accelerated track here in becoming not just a defensive coordinator, but a very successful one. What did you learn in those early years of coaching for you? You know, back when you made that transition from a player to a coach at the same place, which always isn't easy to do. So what types of things did you learn early on?
Well, I think one of the things I learned in my first year coaching a lot of the guys that I just got done playing with was how to act like a professional, because I was still friends with a lot of those guys that I was coaching, and I had to kind of put on a serious face when I was on the field, you know, so I could kind of separate, yeah, you're my friend, but I'm a coach now. So I had to kind of put on that authoritarian face, so to speak, and that kind of helped me approach the whole coaching aspect of things the right way, I think, right off the bat.
Who's had the greatest impact on your coaching philosophy?
My philosophy, I think it's my dad, just from the overall way that he approaches the game and dissects things and the way he thinks things through, you know, concepts and ways to handle the team and the way he treats the kids and things like that. So for sure, it's been my dad, just because I got to see it up close and I got to see him deal with kids and parents and opposing coaches and things like that. So I've always been exposed to that, and he's definitely the one that helped shape me.
What things have you absorbed into your philosophy? What's become your philosophy as a coach?
Well, definitely some things that I've learned along the way so far is from Coach Price, our head coach here at Husson. He just really cares about the guys. It's all about the guys. I'm not a person who thinks that they're a genius or that they have all the answers or, you know, my scheme's better than anyone else's. It's about the relationship with the kids. It's about caring for the kids and empowering them to be better, whether it's on football or just in life in general, because that's why I coach, because I love the game and I like to think that I have an impact on younger guys that have come after me.
Being around the game for so long, you know, it's so much more than the X's and O's, that there's a lot to it in terms of building a culture. So whether, you know, it's your dad was doing it with a whole team, you're doing it with your defense, obviously, and you're doing things right and you're having success. So what things specifically do you do to build a culture within your unit?
One of the words that I think always comes up with defensive guys especially is accountability. Because if you have one guy that's letting you down, it could be a touchdown, you know, whereas it's a little bit different on offense. If, say, the backside receiver is not blocking, it might not hurt you. But if one guy on defense isn't doing their job on any given play, it could be a big play or a touchdown on the other side. So we really tried to emphasize that, to make everyone understand that their job is important no matter what it is on any particular play. Just kind of instill that attitude that everybody's got to do their job. If 10 do it, that's not good enough. We need all 11, and you got to trust the guy next to you to do his job as well. All the things that a lot of people have said for a long time, but I really think it applies, especially on defense, that it really does take 11 to get the job done. So that's one thing that we really stress, is accountability, being somebody that your teammates can trust to get the job done, and someone that we can trust to make plays for us.
Coach, what's your area of expertise? What's something that, you know, you would go into a job interview, and when you're asked, this is my, you know, what's your strength? You'd say, this is it. This is my strength. This is kind of what I hang my hat on.
I think one of my strengths is the ability to have a level head, which I think is an important thing, especially when things aren't going well or when things are starting to get tough and attitudes, tempers are starting to flare and things like that. I feel like I have a pretty good sense of how to handle different types of personalities as well. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like I relate to people pretty well. I can understand that not everybody's going to relate to the same type of communication methods as others. And I feel like I have a pretty good handle on how to approach the different personality types and the different types of kids that we'll come across, or coaches, you know, because communication amongst the staff is obviously very important as well.
Coach, obviously you've done a very good job in putting this together, you know, you and your staff. Obviously it's not always one guy, but what makes up the philosophy of your defense?
Well, we're just trying to make sure that we stop the run first. That's obviously the number one thing. And we've done a good job of that so far in the 2 years here at Huston. That's the main focus of our defense. If we can't stop the run, then the whole rest of the thing is going to unravel for us. So that's where it starts at, as we talked about the 11, all 11 being in, being accountable. But especially the interior six, those are the guys that need to handle their business inside. And our whole defensive philosophy revolves around being able to stop the run, being able to force people to do the thing that they don't necessarily want to do, or go to their second option, take away the thing that they like to do the most. So that's kind of how we go about it. We want to stop the run, number one, and number two is kind of make them play left-handed, so to speak, and take away whatever they do best.
What would you say is the identity of your defense?
Like right on the back of that last question, I think it's run stoppers. All 11 of our guys know that if they're going to play for us, they're going to have to tackle. They're going to have to get off blocks. And that takes a certain type of mentality to be able to get rid of somebody and go make a play. We're not really relying on a middle linebacker or one guy to make all the tackles. It's everybody's got to be able to get off blocks and make tackles. So that's kind of the identity of our defense, is being run stoppers first. And that goes from the nose tackle to the cornerback and everybody in between.
What type of defense are you running?
We're running a 4-2-5. Really, it's like a 4-4. Just not as close in as that old school 4-4, but it's a one high safety most of the time. So we'll play with three safeties, so we call it a 4-2-5.
Obviously, you know, it's not all about the X's and O's. That you guys have to do a great job as a coaching staff in teaching your system. So what are the best things you and your coaches are doing, you know, method-wise or with how you put things together to teach your system?
Well, starting with the individual, you know, obviously that's our big learning time. we really try to make some kind of routine when it comes to the drills and the things that we're learning. So we're going to pound in the fundamentals every single day in individual. So it starts with individual. And after that, we head into a little, we call it a team teach period, where we're going to go ahead and get together with just the defense, and we'll service ourselves and run through some plays kind of at a slower pace so that we can teach perhaps a new play that we put in or a little wrinkle that they have on offense, and we can kind of slow it down. And then we'll go into our regular team period. And the way we do it is go up against our second offense as the scout team, and then our second defense will service the starting offense as well. So that's one thing that has been really helpful for us, is the level of competition during our team periods is very high, because it's the second stringers versus the first stringers instead of, you know, the four stringers or the freshmen or all the young guys. And we get a great look, which helps us prepare at a speed that's going to be close to the game speed.
What would you say is your go-to call for your defense, the stuff that you're going to rely on the most and that you feel most comfortable when, you know, things are starting to get shaky?
Definitely it's going to be cover one. I think anybody that you would talk to that has played us knows that. That's our bread and butter, and we'll stick to that when things start to get tough. Just make it simple, and we're just going to play. We'll bring some pressure too. We pressured quite a bit this past year if we're trying to disrupt some things, but definitely if we're just trying to settle everybody down and just play some ball, we're going to play cover one and just make sure we got everybody covered down and try to make some plays.
What's your approach in game planning each week? What are the first things you're going to look at to try to figure out, okay, here's where we're starting this week?
Well, the first thing we'll do, we'll break down the first three games and we'll put in all the plays in our terms and kind of see where their strengths lie in terms of their favorite plays and what they do best. And then from there, we'll kind of formulate what we want to do around that to try to take that away. So the first thing we'll do is break down that film, get the plays, see what their tendencies are, and kind of mold our game plan around that. Because we, like I said, we try to take away whatever they're doing, and that film study, the first part of the week is gonna be the first block for us there.
So as you get into the course of the game, obviously the offense is trying to get some tendencies out of you and get you in certain looks. As you see that kind of stuff starting to happen, you know, what do you do to maybe counter that and give them a different look or break your tendency a little bit?
Yeah, when we start to get into our tendencies pretty good, we'll try to maybe come from the opposite side. A lot of times this year we came from the field quite a bit. We might start to come from the boundary. We might start to line up in a different front. Just subtle things. We're not gonna do too much to try to disguise. We're not a big disguise team, but we're going to just tweak some small things. Maybe we'll put the three technique away from the tackle, or we'll bring an extra defensive lineman in to rush the passer on third down or something like that. But really, we're not going to do too much outside of our base stuff, and that's kind of part of our philosophy, is that we want to be really good at the simple things and kind of just have some variance off of that. So as far as disguises and things like that, change-ups go, it's going to be little things. It's going to be subtle things.
What would you say are the biggest characteristics you're looking for out of your players in your defense? You know, what are those attributes that you're trying to recruit and develop?
Well, the first thing I always look for is, does the guy have a feel for the game? Does he have some instincts? And that's kind of something that you can just see on film, that somebody either has or they don't have it. So especially at this level, we don't always get the 6'3", 230-pound guys. We might get the 5'9", 200-pound guy, but if he can play, he's going to do well in our defense. So that's the first thing that I look for, is does he have instincts? Does he know how to get to the ball? Will he hit when he gets there? Those are the big things. We can work with the other stuff, the block destruction, the pass coverage, the drops, and the footwork, things like that. But I think personally that either you kind of have those instincts to get to the ball, you have a knack for being around the football, or you don't. So watching the highlight films and the game films, you can kind of get a sense of whether the kid might have that. That's the first thing that I look for. Is he going to be able to get to the ball and make plays? Or is he maybe just making a lot of tackles because he's bigger than everybody else or faster. But we're looking for that guy with instincts that gets to the football, makes plays. We don't really care what he looks like per se. We're not looking for a standard mold linebacker or DB or whatever position. We're just looking for a guy that can get to the ball and show some instinct.
Where do you put the playmakers in your defense? Who are those guys?
We have a position we call Rover, which is like, it's kind of like the strong side outside linebacker. That's a position that's going to be very important in our defense because he's going to need to cover slot receivers, which are oftentimes some of the best athletes on the offense. And he's also going to blitz quite a bit and be in there for run support on the perimeter. So that's the one position I'd say is probably the most important for us. And the second would be the free safety because he's, like I said, we're one high and he's the last line of defense and he's going to make a lot of the pass calls, the pass strength calls and adjustments and things like that. So if we have playmakers in those two spots, there's a pretty good chance that we're going to be pretty productive.
Coach, let's put you in a situation here and see what you would do. Learn a little bit about your philosophy in this approach. So you need to stop a drive here to win. There's about 30 seconds left in the game. There's no timeouts. It's 4th and 3. The opponents move the ball to the 30-yard line. Right now, any points on the board, field goal, touchdown wins it. So it's pretty critical that you get a stop right here. They've done a good job. They've been pretty balanced. They've had some success on the ground and in the air. What's your call going to be?
Well, we're gonna bring 6. There's no question about that. When you said it was 4th and 3, we're a pressure defense, and that's what we're going to do. So my philosophy is kind of if they're going to beat us when we blitz, then they deserve it. So we want to put pressure on the offense and make them make a great play. We're going to have everybody covered. We're probably going to be playing man, and we're just going to hope that the pressure gets there. And if they beat us one-on-one, then they deserve it. But we want to put some pressure. We want to make it hard on them. We want to make them maybe do something that they wouldn't normally do in that situation because they know some pressure is going to come. But that's kind of our philosophy is we want to bring some pressure and try to force a bad decision.
You guys mostly a 6-man pressure team or you prefer 5?
Yeah, we're going to come most of the time with a 5-man pressure just because of the variety of ways that we can get to the 5-man pressure. And it kind of creates some confusion based on who's going to come and who's not. But we'll also bring 6-man pressure, probably the second most, just because we like making everybody block. So teams that like to release the back will get one free. If they like to keep the back in, we get 6 1-on-1s, which to the offense, that's great. They have everyone picked up. In our mind, we have 1-on-1s everywhere, so it's our advantage. So we'll do a little bit of both, but more 5-man pressures than 6 just because of the different varieties of ways we can do it.
Coach, let's focus a little bit more now on the things you've learned as well as some things you might be able to pass on to our listeners. So let's start with this one. And, you know, I ask this to a lot of coaches and they have to pause. So you're 27 years old, right? What's a mistake you made as a younger coach? And what did you learn from it?
In my first year as a coach, I kind of came to realize how serious and important this business is in terms of this is somebody's livelihood. You know, this isn't just a fun game that we're playing. This is, you know, 10 guys' way of feeding their families. So the little things that I would have to do my first year in coaching, film input, data reports, things like that, all of that matters. All the little things matter. And that's something that I learned very quickly, that there's no way that you can do the job halfway and be the best that you can and your team be the best that they can, because every little detail matters. And that was something that I had to learn very quickly as a first-year coach, coming from being a player to a coach, how serious everything is, how if you're lackadaisical for a minute, you're falling behind the opponent. And I guess my mistake was just not taking everything, how do I say it, taking everything as seriously as I should have. Mm-hmm. To realize that actually this data input being done by this time actually does matter, because somebody else is counting on me to do it, and that person needs it to give it to the next person, and that person, you know, and so on. So the little things matter, and that was the main thing that I pulled out of it, and that you've got to do every little thing like it's the most important thing.
What's the best piece of coaching advice you've received so far in your career?
Also in my first year, Tessa Smith, who was my linebackers coach in college, and he was with the staff at the time there, he told me, take care of the people around you. And I can't remember what he was even talking about and what reference it was to, but that really stuck with me, that the people that you come in contact with, whether it's the other coaches or students on campus or the cafeteria workers, it all matters, and everybody takes mental notes about how you in particular and the football team treat other people. So that was one of the things that really stuck with me, was take care of the people around you. And that's kind of something that I try to do, is to treat everybody with respect and not think that I'm better or higher up than anybody else, as a way of life. And he said that to me, and it really stuck with me, and I still think about that today from time to time.
So let's extend that to a young coach getting into the profession now, you know, trying to make it in this profession. What would you tell him?
I would tell him just to take every day and try to make something happen. That's what I tried to do when I was young. I tried to, you know, go in and make an impact. I was a business degree guy, and they always talk about adding value. How do I add value to the company? Well, as a coach, how did I add value to the staff? Those are the type of guys that people want around. Those are the guys that I would want on my staff, or that I think other people would say that I give to their program. Just the little things add up over time, and I think that's a way of adding value. That's a way that a young coach could come in and make an impact, even on the littlest of things. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. If you do it well, you're going to add value. So that's something I'd say is to try to add value. It's kind of a vague term, but I think that if you come and do your job every day and you do it well and you pay attention to the details, that's kind of how you do that.
Coach, what's a book you would recommend to our listeners, something that would help them as they're looking to learn and grow through the profession?
Actually, the one I'm reading right now is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, and it's really kind of struck me, and I don't usually read books like that, but it's very interesting, talking about how people succeed and opportunity and things like that, and kind of just, it makes you think about why people are good and why people succeed versus others. And that's one that kind of gets me thinking a little bit, and I would kind of recommend that to anybody that's trying to figure out how to find a little bit of an edge, or how to be successful themselves, kind of unlock those secrets. But that's a good one that I'm reading right now that I would also recommend to other people.
That's one, actually, the second one today. You're the second guy I've interviewed today that's suggested that book. The other guy was Kevin Kelly, who is the high school coach who does everything different. You know, he's the guy known for not punting, and a lot of what he does, you know, is from getting ideas from, you know, Outliers or Freakonomics or something like that. So those books definitely have value for coaches as well. Coach, what's something you've taken from a coaching clinic and implemented into what you do?
The first coaching clinic I ever went to was the Michigan High School Coaches Association clinic, and I was watching Pat Narduzzi speak when he was the defensive coordinator at Michigan State, and he every time I've seen him, and I've seen him about four or five times, he talks about the 4-3 defense and quarters. And one of the things that he talked about was their fiver stunt, which is just bringing the end into the B gap. And he talked about it for like half an hour. It seemed like such a simple thing to me, but he went over clip after clip after clip of how it looks against different blocking schemes and how it looks against pass pro and different things like that. And that was one thing that we do now that at the time I'm just looking at it and I'm just thinking, that's a one gap stunt. What's the big deal? But the depth that he got into it kind of helped me realize there's more to every movement than just going someplace. There's a purpose for it. and there's different ways that we can attack the offense when we move around. So as simple as it seems, one of the most impactful things that I learned in that clinic was how to bring that end into the B gap and how he should act accordingly to the blocking schemes. And Coach Narduzzi is a great speaker, and that such a simple thing that he said really stuck with me. And it was my first coaching clinic, and I went to a bunch of talks, and that was the thing that I remember sticking out to me the most, was just that little simple thing and how in depth he went with it.
As we head into this off season here, what are some specific techniques or on field schemes, maybe plays you need to defend that you're excited about learning more about here?
Well, the hot thing right now for everybody is the RPO stuff, and we're always looking for different ideas on how to defend that. We see a lot of power in our league, so we're always looking for different ways that we can disrupt that. And those are the kind of two things that we're looking at right now. And then in terms of pass game stuff, we're always looking to add just a little wrinkle to our existing coverages. So we'll look into that, whether it be something other than one high, which is what we are most of the time. We'll always look into that and see if we can find a wrinkle in the pass game. But those are kind of the things that we'll keep an eye on as we start to do some self-scout and start studying in the off season.
Technology has become an important part of coaching and helping our players learn. What's your favorite piece of coaching technology, or maybe one that you're looking to incorporate into your workflow?
Well, we love Huddle. We use it for all of our film stuff. It's nice because I can take it home and work from home. I got my little 7-month-old at home and my wife, and we can hang out and I can be at home and not have to sit at the office all night to watch film. So that's one of the things that I really love. And I'm kind of looking forward to the Huddle sideline coming in next year, being able to have our guys up in the booth, be able to watch the replays and then bring that in at halftime. I think that's going to be a huge advantage for coaches everywhere to be able to see that in real time and not have to kind of guess what happened, but to see it and know exactly what happened right away. I think that's going to be a game changer for us.
Yeah, the instant replay stuff is outstanding. I mean, just getting that immediate type of feedback. I've been using it in practice in one form or another for the last 4 years, so it's just been something that's been great for us, and I think being able to use it on the field in games is huge. It's a game changer, and really, I think it's going to change the game quite a bit. You know, you're not necessarily waiting for halftime to make those adjustments and, you know, getting together with your coaches, you're seeing it immediately. So, yeah, I think that's an exciting part of the game. This is a tough question for a lot of our coaches here. What have you learned about creating balance in your life? You know, you have a seven-month-old now, and it's obviously important to find that balance between the passion and the grind of football, along with being able to take care of your family and faith and health and do all those things as well. What have you learned to help you create balance?
Well, I've kind of learned that the most important things in my life are always going to come first. So when it comes to, am I going to stay that extra hour at the office when I could do it at home or I could do it tomorrow? I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be a person that's going to miss out on things like that because I really want to win, or I really want to get this next clip in or whatever. Obviously I want to win. I very badly want to win. But I'm not going to do it at the expense of the things that are most important in my life. The things like you mentioned, my family and my faith. So that's kind of where I stand with it. I have a pretty clear conscience about how much I work and how much I'm at home. Obviously I'd like to be home a little bit more at some times during the year, but when it comes to this profession, we do a pretty good job. Coach Price leads the way in this of getting us home to our families when we need to be and not sitting guarding our desks, as he likes to say. So when the work's done, we go home, which is great. And I love that. So that's kind of the thing that I hope in the future of my career that I can have that as well. I know we're pretty lucky compared to some other coaches that I know and have worked with in the past that kind of burn the candle, you know, so to speak. And I'm very lucky right now to be able to have some good balance, and I hope that continues and wherever my career takes me in the future.
Coach, what do you see as some major concerns for the future of the game, and maybe what ideas do you have to solve those?
Obviously the thing that everybody talks about is the head injuries and people pulling their little kids out of football and things like that. I think the main thing that we can do is start the tackling a little bit later. I know a lot of places have already done that. I just think that if you start tackling in middle school or fifth grade or something a little bit longer down the road, I think that's going to help keep kids involved. It's going to help parents have a little bit better peace of mind that my 9-year-old's not getting knocked around and taking a lot of these hits before he even gets to high school. I think that's one thing that you'll see in the future is a lot of communities going to that. And I think that's a potentially huge thing for football to make sure that the kids keep playing, and, you know, because football is a very important thing in terms of community, in terms of team building, teaching a lot of those life skills that kids can't learn in other arenas of life. So I think that moving the age of tackle back a little bit would be helpful. But I think obviously the big concern right now is the head injuries. There's a lot of unknown with it when it comes to the long-term effects on youth sports players. And I'm sure we'll see more information on that in the future, but obviously there's real risk involved. And, you know, we're seeing some of this CTE and all the things that have happened in the past few years. And it's concerning to people. And it's concerning to me too, because I don't want to see the sport that we all love kind of get dragged through the mud. And I think that that's something that we could do to kind of help it. Let these kids kind of play and learn fundamentals, and then we'll start hitting as their bodies mature a little bit and they have a little bit more coordination and can handle the way that their body's moving around and flying around in there out there on the field.
Coach, we're going to finish up here with what we call a two-minute drill. Some real quick questions on some football topics. So let's start with this. Schematically, what's the toughest offense to face?
12 personnel.
What's your favorite? Go ahead, Coach. Sorry.
I just think that adding all those extra gaps with the big bodies, that's tough to defend.
What's your favorite goal line defense?
Bear.
Turf or grass?
Turf.
What's your favorite coverage structure? 0, 1, 2, 3?
Cover one.
Day game or night game?
I like night games.
If you had to run your defense from one front, what would it be?
Over.
Should the kickoff be eliminated?
No.
If you could pick one football coach from the past, retired or no longer with us, to learn from, who would it be?
Bill Walsh.
How about one from the present?
Pete Carroll.
How many teams should be included in the FBS playoff?
4.
All things being equal, blitz or play base?
Blitz it, baby.
Here's our last question, and this is an important one, I think, to our listeners, to helping them find the winning edge. You obviously have done some things right with your defense. You've been a top defense in the country the last 2 seasons. What would be the one thing that you point to as giving your unit the winning edge?
I think it's just the way that we relate with the players and the way that we care about them. These guys that play for us know that we care what happens to them on the field and off the field. And I think that kind of creates a little bit of a trusting atmosphere where they believe what we say and they go do it without question it, because they know that we care about them. And I think that's the way to build a winning team is to have kids that trust you, that you trust and that you care about, and you're willing to empower them to be better at whatever they're doing. And I think the kids buy into a structure where they understand that the coaches want them to do well and they care about what happens to them. So for us, it's all about the kids. It's all about the players. It's a people business. We don't do anything special. Our scheme's not the best. It's not the most complex. It's not anything special. It's not unique. It's the kids and the way that we interact with the kids that is always going to be the most important thing for us.
Well, Coach, you're certainly doing things the right way. How can we connect with you? How can our listeners connect with you?
I'm on Twitter at GCaserta1, and also I run the Huston Football account if they want to check us out on there. that's the best way. I'm on Facebook as well. If people want to see me on there, Grant Caserta. And that's it.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time away from your little guy there. You know, it was a great conversation with you, and I look forward to talking to you more in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Keith.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.